three major film music composers who rose to prominence in the 1950s and 60s died in the last month: Jerry Goldsmith, David Raxon, and this past Wednesday, Elmer Bernstein. Bernstein is perhaps best known for his rousing score to The Magnificent Seven, but with some 200 films and 80 television shows to his credit, Bernstein was one of Hollywood's most prolific composers. Joining us is Weekend Edition's film music commentator, Andy Trudeau. Welcome back, Andy.
Hey, Leanne.
It's hard to know where to start with Elmer Bernstein. What's your primary impression of his career?
Well, first of all, the types of films he scored immensely varied, but stylistically, he's very identifiable. He's one of these composers who found their style very early and stayed with it. You know, when the main titles roll and the film composer's always the last one on the list, I usually like to try to guess, and Elmer's one you can usually guess. He's had an interesting pattern in his career in that he'd write a breakthrough score in a very certain style, and then since Hollywood likes nothing but success, he kept on having to repeat it. And there are three phases of his career where he got trapped into these stereotypes. The first was jazz. He was among the first composers to really utilize the vocabulary of jazz in a film score. He often made it very clear these weren't jazz scores because there was no spontaneous improvisation, but he used in a very intelligent and dramatic way the vocabulary of jazz. He wrote a whole bunch: Man with the Golden Arm, Sweet Smell of Success, Some Came Running, Rat Race, Walk on the Wild Side. I thought just to hear a little bit from Rat Race will give you the idea of the Bernstein jazz style. And you'll hear that little rhythmic sense throughout a lot of his scores. The next stereotype he walked into right after this phase was the Westerns. Of course, Magnificent Seven. Most of the tributes I've heard this week go right to the theme of that, but I think they miss an important part, which is the setup of the theme in the original soundtrack. One of his teachers was Aaron Copland. And I always hear the little transition passage that just precedes the theme as being a tribute to Copland. You're going to hear a very typical loud wind brass series of four chords. Bernstein just loved to pound them into your head. Then we got the Copland-esque passage and then the theme. Copland. And of course, after this, he had to crank out Western after Western after Western. He even did a whole series of late John Wayne Westerns, showing you how he got tagged with this. His approach was really where the film allowed it, to get inside the emotion of the film. And in another part of his Americana side is a very tender, very melodic side. And he often told the story of when he had the assignment to score To Kill a Mockingbird. He said he spent 6 weeks scratching his head, basically, trying to figure out how do I approach this thing, and finally decided it was the child's perspective that was his way in. And he wrote a score that was just completely innocent and simple in its manner and approach, and I think it led him to create one of his most moving and beautiful scores. Left Hand Only. Now, he's a chamber music composer, too. Just little swaths of color here. There's a transparency to a lot of his scoring. You can hear all the pieces. Extend the piano theme. With just a little accompaniment. in that one of the most beautiful themes I think he ever wrote. Another side of him, few really handled comedy writing as well as Elmer Bernstein did. And he did it in a variety of settings. I don't know that I have to tell you the next film. I think you'll recognize it quickly. We have a martial opening that really could take us anywhere, action-adventure. The tuba line is going to give it away, a little rhythmic tuba line, take us into a very quirky march. We could be going anywhere at this point. Listen to the tuba. No doubt where we're going now.
We're going with Steve McQueen on a motorcycle in The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. He had a tendency to prefer winds over strings, too. The last of the stereotype boxes he got trapped in came in the late 70s when he scored a whole bunch of comedy films that I bet you people who've seen these films don't even know there was a score for them. Animal House, Meatballs, Blues Brothers, Airplane. He even contributed to music to Michael Jackson's video Thriller. It was the scene with God coming in on it. For Ghostbusters, he actually wrote a theme that he had planned to use throughout the film, but in post-production, they came up with that song that became the hit, and that it got stuck into the film and all the places he was going to put his theme. But just for the record, here's Elmer's Ghostbusters theme music. In his last years, I noticed that I think Elmer had a series of unfortunate experiences. You may remember the year we were doing our Oscar talk, and we were talking about Ry Cooter's score to Last Man Standing. Elmer had written the original score. It had been thrown out, and then Cooter brought in to write a new one. He also had written a score for Gangs of New York, thrown out. Fortunately, there was a high point in the sort of last years when we were able to talk about, in 2002, his score to Far From Heaven. It was a collaboration with the director, Todd Haynes, who really wanted Elmer in on the score. He wanted that 1950s sort of sensibility, which Elmer brought to it. It was a wonderful score. No big climaxes. Those big Magnificent Seven chords are not here. And I think one way to really get into it is just listen to this little piece of chamber music, a wonderful piano bassoon duet followed by a string section that has a nice little blues spice to it. I think by now you get a feel for a Bernstein rhythm. I don't think Elmer ever got the respect he really deserved. He had gotten 14 Academy Award nominations. And he had only got it in 1967 for what I believe was an adaptation of somebody else's music, Thoroughly Modern Millie.
The only Oscar he won.
Only Oscar he won. And as you know from our discussion in 2002, I was really pulling for Far From Heaven, and I was very disappointed. He was a real master of his craft. He was a composer proudly made in the USA, a distinctive voice. He created some landmark scores, and I think he's another one of those whose work will forever define great film music.
Elmer Bernstein died this past Wednesday. Andy Trudeau joins us on special occasions such as this, as well as every year at Oscar time. For more, go to our website at npr.org. Andy, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Leanne.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.